You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action. On this edition, you'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gary Capewell, James Millman and Craig Forsyth in the studio. Three meetings on the turf on Tuesday afternoon, Brighton, Catterick and Leicester, and all weather action in the evening on the poly track at Kempton Park. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yeah, good, thanks, Mark.
Good man. As usual, we'll start with a Monday jury on this edition of the podcast. It focuses quite heavily on the action over the weekend at Shaun T and a bit of a look ahead to upcoming races as well. First question of it, Mick, is what are your thoughts on the ARC, basically? And what a performance, training performance from Aidan O'Brien. A 1-2-3 in the ARC is remarkable, isn't it? It's phenomenal.
Absolutely. Yeah, I found... she's very sort of... lightly race at a mile and a half, isn't it? And obviously, it's a great trip for her, isn't it? And with a run of seconds, you think, well, maybe there's something amiss, but she gives it everything, doesn't she? She's just a fantastic filly, and this is her time of year as well. So she saved her best for there, didn't she? And she'd probably go back to America now, won't she? Because she didn't have a particularly hard race, did she? No. I didn't think. And you've got the King George winner in second and the Gold Cup winner in third. It's you know, although probably the purists will say it wasn't a great arc, I would say you go and try and win one.
yeah, it's not easy, is it? So a great performance from Fowler. She's finished runner-up in 9 Group 1s.
Unbelievable.
Which she deserves a big prize. She won the Breeders' Cup beating Golden Horn last year, and a big prize in Europe to her name as well now.
Absolutely.
which is great.
Aidan followed his first three in the 1,000 guineas with the first three in the ARC, which is quite incredible. And all by the same sire as well, which even adds more lustre to it, doesn't it? Just a fantastic performance. And I thought, completely different venue, as obviously, but I thought Shaun T did a great job in the circumstances.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
There was no real hard luck stories, were there, in the course of the races, I didn't think. And... everything seemed to go smoothly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and they're going to be there again next year, aren't they? So, onwards and upwards.
Might we have seen a classic winner in the Boussac or Lagardère?
I wouldn't be at all surprised. And again, I've seen some of the form experts knocking both of the races, but I'll tell you what, the performance of them both was mighty, wasn't it? National Defence brightening up a moderate season for Cricket Head, as he was given a brilliant ride from the front by Pierre Charles Boudot. If you've never heard of him, he's going to be champion jockey elect in France with an amazing number of winners, 228 so far. So he's a force to be reckoned with, and he looks the real deal to me. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if he takes front rank, although. Andre Fab does have a horse who beat him in the Prix de Chien called Akiro. So pop his name alongside National Defence. But don't be fooled by the Lagarde form knockers. That was a high-class performance from the front by National Defence. And the race horses were, thereabouts in behind as well, weren't they? And he was just in a different league, wasn't he? And the filly... to put it in perspective, the Racing Post rating he got puts him on a par with Churchill, who was hot favourite for the Dewhurst, and puts him ahead of Caravaggio, who everyone's raving about for next year's guineas, etc., and the middle part winner, The Last Lion. So, yeah, that puts it in perspective. I thought Wahida was very good. I thought that... that performance good enough to put her towards the head of the market for the Guineas, but they are training her like an Oaks filly. Mm. So the further she goes, the better she'll go. But again, I think both the Boussac and the Lagardère were both high-class races and high-class performances from them both.
Yeah,
that was only a second start, Wade. You know, it was quite something to go there and do that and only a second start and in a Group 1. And I think to be trying to knock the performances and the form of the races is pretty negative thinking. They can only improve from what they did on Sunday.
Yeah.
A pair of them.
Impressed our traders enough as well. Wahida is the new favourite for the 1,000 Guineas. She's 8-1.
I'm not surprised, Mark. I'm not surprised because there's definitely more to come from her and only a second start.
On to the third question then. Can you see Alice Springs going one better at the Breeders' Cup?
My only concern about Alice Springs was that she did look a bit distressed after the race. Now, whether she got a little bit steadfast and I thought right for a moment Ryan was going to jump off her and lead her in back to the winner's enclosure, but she did loosen up. Whether that was just, I don't know, maybe she just dehydrated or maybe just not got enough oxygen. I don't know, but I'm sure they won't take her unless she's okay. It might have just been a little blip, but she must have missed a heartbeat or something. You know, anything can go on at the end of a race. And she's exceptional, isn't she? That's 3 Group 1s, isn't it? And, well, if she does go, she'll probably have to take on Tepan, who's arguably the best in the world at a mile. That remains to be seen. But anyway, if she goes, good luck to her. That's all I can say. She can't do any more than win 3 Group 1s, can she?
No, she can't. She finished runner-up in Keeneland last year in the Juvenile Fillies Turf.
And this time last year, she probably achieved as much as Founder achieved in her own quiet way.
Yeah. But like you mentioned, Tepping could be quite a big stumbling block in her way, but she deserved to go there, doesn't
she? Absolutely.
What chance do you give Shalar in the British Champions Sprint? Good to see him back on the racetrack at the weekend.
Yes. I always worry about horses coming back from long layoffs, going straight into the deep end. He didn't have to team too much to win that the other day, so we don't really know whether he's back to his brilliant two-year or best. I'd be a watcher rather than a backer.
Okay. Yeah, top juvenile in Britain.
Wishing him all the best.
Year,
but, yeah. By the way, I'm not wishing him all the best, but as I say, a watcher rather than a backer. But he's a fresh horse going into it, which will be to his advantage.
Yeah.
And they seem to think they've got him right back. He's going to have to improve on the bare bones of the Ascot form, but not on his best two-year-old performances. We put him right up there with the likes of Quiet Reflection and co. So, yeah. As I say, I'd be happy to learn from that performance the other day.
Okay, and final two questions. Just take a little bit of a glimpse ahead to Saturday's action. Churchill and the Dewhurst, Mick, this Saturday, unbeatable or opposable?
He's looked the real deal, hasn't he? He beat Mimas by 4 lengths, who's got a very lofty rating himself, hasn't he? And he deserves to be favourite for the Dewhurst. He does look the real deal. His price is going to be a bit prohibitive, and there's going to be each way value in the race, the likes of South Seas and Rivet, etc. But he's definitely still improving, and funny enough, it took Aidan forever to win the Cheveley Park, and yet he's closely related. His dam is out of airwave, of course, and won the Cheveley Park for Henry Candy, and so that Aidan's got that monkey off his back, and he's now going to maybe put it to his side with Churchill in the Dewhurst this weekend. Yeah, the National Stakes sets the form standard, and again, I'll be a watcher rather than a backer at 4-7 or whatever he is.
Yeah, he's 4-7. Yeah, Churchill 4-7, 4-1 South Seas, Blue Point 5-1, 7-1 Rivet, 8-1 for Seven Heavens, and 12-1 or bigger prices for the rest. That's as it stands at the moment.
Yeah.
Final question then of this week's Monday, Jory Mick. Nice easy one to finish with as well. Who wins the Cesarowicz?
Nice easy one, is it, Mark? St. Michelle, he looks well in with it under his £4 penalty, doesn't he? And 3-year-olds don't have a bad record in the race, actually. One winner, 2 places from 14 runners in the last 10 years. I'm waiting for Moonmeister to pop up one of these days. He's knocking on the door on the flat. He stays very well over hurdles, and they've been very reluctant to extend him over long-distance flat trips but it's been no problem to him overall. But, and it's a big but, five-year-olds are 0 from 74 in the last 10 years. Eight have hit the frame, and that's put me off somewhat. So I've ended up with Grometti, who is within a pound of last year's winning mark, and he comes into it with a very similar profile. I think his prices going into last year were 20-1, 12-1, and 12-1, going into his previous three runs. And I think it's very similar, 20-1, 25-1, and 12-1, coming into this year's. And I wouldn't be surprised if Len King's already got Adam Biskitza, who ran into victory last year, booked, because he's going to have a lightish weight, I think, if the weights could go up. But he's only got, I think, 8-2 at the moment. And I just thought, you know, what? Because it's a bit of a nightmare of a race to try and get an angle on, isn't it? But and I don't like the Tony Martin lot at the top. I think they've got too much weight and stuff. And that's why I liked his other one, Mo Meister. But when I saw that five-year-old record, it put me right off. Mm. Maybe I shouldn't let it, because five-year-old pop up one of these days, won't it? That's Sod's law, isn't it? Law of averages, isn't it?
Yeah. So at 25-1, I'd be willing to find out as well.
Right. Yeah, I suppose you could just have a fiver each way, couldn't you? And say, I bet any money hits the frame, Meister.
Yeah.
I bet he hits the frame.
Well, he's 25s and Grometti also 25-1.
And I'll tell you what, to emphasise what I was saying about him, I mean, they never extend him in long-distance flat races, yet the other day, in a very hot race behind a very highly regarded Dermotwell three-year-old, he just failed to get up to beat him over 9.5 furlongs. You know, he's got... So a horse who's got that flat speed, he's going to get a good posse in there, says Harwich. And the way he stays over hurdles, he's unbeaten over hurdles when he's gone beyond 2 miles, you know, in extended trips beyond 2 miles.
Yeah,
it's just that stat about 5 hours that puts me off.
Mm.
But maybe I shouldn't let it.
Yeah, maybe not. Let's have a go at one at
absolutely.
Place, so.
Yeah, well, I'm going to sort of have a little bit on them both.
Yeah,
Meister and Grometti.
Yeah. Both 25-1, then, if you want to get involved with them at the moment.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Mick. That's the Monday jury for another week. Let's move on to Tuesday, then. Mick's got four races prepared for us for Tuesday. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, then, on to Tuesday's action. Mick's got four races prepared for us. The first of them is the 3 o'clock at Catterick. This is a Class 3 nursery over 7 furlongs. Obviously, it's the two-year-olds in action here. A field of 5, Mick, so low in numbers, but a couple of interesting ones in there that you've...
Fascinating.
You know, how's your form from Turkey?
Absolutely. I've had to dig out the Turkish form book. Unfortunately, I couldn't understand a word of it. But anyway, the top two in the weights, Top Score and Massim Star, both met in Turkey a month ago. In a group three. Top Score finished second, Massim Star finished fourth, but was only beaten 2.5 lengths after meeting traffic problems. And they were off levels in that group race. And now that Massim Star gets £8 for 2.5 lengths, I think could well turn the tables on Top Score. But I'm going to take them both on with Watch the Message. Luke Morris rides for Keith Dalglish, gets weight from both the top two. Broke his maiden error at the first time of asking, but improved on that form. Broke her maiden at the first time of asking at Ayr in August, but improved on that when third at the Western meeting there. And just beaten a length, and it looks very strong form. And she can only get better after only 2 starts. And I think her mark of 78... she was only beaten a length, and the winner was rated 85. I think that mark of 78 looks fair enough. And with them probably be all over the Godolphin horse, she might just be a decent back up a price, what's the message. So, fascinating nursery, despite the lack of numbers for it.
Yeah, it is. What's the message then? The selection for Mick in the 3 o'clock. The 3:50 at Leicester is where we go next. This is a Class 2 handicap over 1.5 miles. It's 8 runners to go to post here, Mick. The interestingly named Squirrel Handicap.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's quite a good contest as well. Some very interesting runners. Stars Over the Sea and How Dear, joint top weight with 9 stone 8. Stars Over the Sea, son of See the Stars. He likes to front run. He's £9 higher than his last win, which probably leaves him vulnerable. But his presence ensures a good pace. And if they just leave him alone up front, he could well take some pegging back. It's a track he can do that at Leicester with its undulations, etc., etc. And nobody more canny than Joe Fanning at exploiting that. But I do think that Tordia is coming back to his best trip here. Been tried over further last few times. And although not thrown in off 102, did run a fine race off 10 stone in the John Smith's Cup. It wasn't beaten very far at all. And we know what a competitive race that is. Also, probably be strong in the market, but might be vulnerable is Monotype, who did what he had to do and well back to win at Foss Lass in a winnable race. But this looks a tougher contest for me off a £6 higher mark. I wouldn't put anybody off backing him, but his price might just be a bit shorter than the quality of this race suggests. So I'm going to take a chance on Tordia, coming back to what I think is his best trip.
Tordia, then, the selection for Mick in the 350 at Leicester. Staying at Leicester next for the 450, and this is a class 4 handicap over a mile and a half. It's for the 3-year-olds only. We've got a field of 13 to go to post here, Mick, and this is going to be one of the more open races of the day. It's quite tricky, this.
It certainly is, Mark. Very open and hard to kick a few out, really. 3-year-old handicaps are traditionally, by the very nature of the beast, trappy enough. I'll go through them in the order of my shortlist, and they're all sort of pretty close together, numbers 7, 8 and 9 on the race card. The first one is Pumblechook, trained by Lucy Wadham, Dougie Costler taking the ride. Shown ability all three starts, this son of Delacarney. He was a well-backed maiden winner, and he was well-backed again when he finished fourth on his handicap debut at Doncaster in July last time we saw him. He's had a break since then, but I do think there's more to come because he's still looked green to me that day at Doncaster. And if he's strong in the market again, see if it'd be interesting to see if the money comes again as the last twice, he would be of interest. Corpus Chorister, Rab Havlin rides for David Menuzier. This daughter of Soldier of Fortune's, she's a game front runner, but she couldn't sustain her front running tacks at Yarmouth last time, and she was eased when beaten, which accentuated the margin she was beaten. Whether she went off just maybe a bit hard. Yarmouth, tough track with that long old straight to make all on. I'm happy to give it another chance, but this is a tough one to bounce back in, I think. And I'm going to stay for the selection with Maestro Mac, trained by Hughie Morrison, James Doll taking the ride. And he's running really well in all three starts this season, improved with every race, and it looks as though a mile and a half could turn out to be his best trip, and that was the trip of his unlucky second at Beverley last time when winner got first run on him. And I think with the size of the field, there should be a fairly good gallop here, and if James Doll makes plenty of use on him once the race starts in earnest, brings his proven stamina into play, I think Maestro Mac might oblige at a decent price.
Maestro Mac, then, could be a bit of value for Mick in the 450. And the final race we look at is the 840 at Kempton. We finish here with a class 4 handicap over a mile and a half for 3-year-olds and older. We've got 9 of them to go to post here. Mick, one that caught my eye though was St Saviour, trained by Philip Hobbs. He wouldn't have many runners at Kempton on the flat, would he?
He wouldn't. He was 134 rated hurdler at his best, and his flat mark is 79, and he's got useful flat form as well. And they always reckon about £40. Well, he's exceeded that, hasn't he? So he could well be well in. This is his polytrack debut. He'll have done plenty of work on the polytrack, and he's also got form fresh, and he's very close to his last winning mark, and he would be very much of interest if he's strong in the market, Mark. So he's on my shortlist, but definitely St Saviour. The others are the new Pharaoh, who's looked a different horse this year. Looked as though he was going to go the wrong way last time, but he's really turned the corner this time, and his mark's gone from 75 to 76, and still, I think, quite well handicapped. If he's cherry ripe after 95 days off, didn't run at all badly over two furlongs further at Sandown last time. And back to, what, as I say, mile and a half, I think is going to be his best trip. My only reservation about the new Pharaoh is, well, two reservations really, that 3 months absence when he was in such good form, and he's yet to show his best form in two runs on the all weather. So I don't know whether that's enough to judge on, because he's obviously a different horse now and it may well not have a bearing. Again, it'll be interesting to see how strong he is in the market, but I do respect his chances. So the vote's going to Art for Rogue, who has got a good record here at Kempton, but contrastingly, and is very effective off this mark and higher. Jim Crowley riding for his sister-in-law, and blinkers on for the first time, accompanied by a hood for the first time. The booking of the champion-elect Jim Crowley suggests that they mean business, doesn't it? And he just come here on the back of an excellent second over this course and distance 13 days ago. So the Art for Rogue gets the call in, a trappy one.
Yeah, but he does love it at Kempton, as you mentioned.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, great record here.
Yeah. The Art for Rogue and the selection for Mick in that final race. Let's just have a little bit of a quick summary, Mick. Just relay your final selections for us then in a nice little bundle.
OK, in the 3 o'clock at Catterick, fascinating little nursery despite the small field. What's the message? I think even though she's coming back a furlong, I do think, which is actually the trip she won over, but I think there's more to come from her. In the 3.50 at Leicester, fascinating mile and a half handicap with plenty of quality on show here. And I'm just hoping that Tordier can take advantage of this step back to his best trip. And he ran a fine race off a £2 lower mark in the John Smith's Cup at York. In the 4.50 at Leicester, another really good three-year-old handicap. I like the chances of Maestro Mac, I think that they've been building up to running him over these sort of trips. Tracked this trip at Beverley last time, should have probably won, let the winner get first run, and he couldn't just peg him back up the hill. But if he's riding fairly prominently, James Doyle, I'm sure that he's going to take some beating in that 4.50. And our final race of the day, the 8.40 at Kempton. Art for Rogue is trained by Amanda Perrett, Jim Crowley's sister-in-law, and he's got a good record at the track. Good run here 13 days ago over CD, and the very fact that they put the blinkers and the hood combination for the first time suggests they mean business. Art for Rogue in the 8.40.
Superb, Mick. Good work. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
OK, thanks, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Gary Capel, James Millman and Craig Forsyth in the studio. Brighton, Catterick and Leicester provide the action in the afternoon, and it's an evening under the floodlights at Kempton Park. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.